Well, I saw a couple people just cutting across the rows rather than going all the way to the back. So I just followed the crowd, and we got in, and I was the last one in before he started stopping people and saying, "No, you got to go to the end of the line." And I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want that to be selfish, but I didn't want to. I don't know. I was there. God put me there. I'm like, "What the heck? I'll just get in line," you know. So I went through, got up there. There was a guy on crutches in front of me. Todd prayed for him. He fell back into my arms, and then I, you know, we kind of got him back up on his feet. He was still on crutches, but hey, I mean, you know, who am I? God does what God wants to do. Then I went through. He put his hand on my head. He prayed for me for a second, maybe two seconds. And then the guy next to him, the guy that was helping him out, kind of whisked me on through because he had 2,500 other people to pray for. I mean, they only had so much time before it was daylight. So, you know, I was thinking, wow, you know, that was fast. And I'll come back to that later because God did something really cool about that. But what was even cooler was, as I was waiting to get prayed for, as I was in line coming up towards Todd Bentley, I recognized somebody. I noticed that there was somebody, a real tall guy, stood head and shoulders above everybody else. There was about three people in front of me. And I recognized him because I'd seen his picture on books and seen him in videos that I had purchased of him. Who should be standing about three people in front of me but Michael Brown? Now, last week I talked about Michael Brown, the author, one of my favorite authors who has written all these books on revival. He has a school of revival. Used to be in Brownsville. In fact, he was one of the key pillars of the Brownsville revival down there years ago. He moved his school up to North Carolina. It's in Charlotte now. And son of a gun, he was like three people in front of me. And I've got like seven of his books and two of his tapes. And I'm like, oh, man, this is the man. So I didn't even care about Todd Bentley. I'm like, dude, Michael, hey, buddy. So we went through the line. And he went, you know, he got prayed for, and God apparently, you know, hit him pretty good. And he went over to his seat, so I went over and introduced myself. I'm like, "Are you Michael Brown?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm Michael Brown." And we got to know each other for a couple minutes and you know, had some nice exchange of words. And I started to go afterwards, and the light bulb went on in my head. I'm like, dude. So I had one of our church invitations that you unfold, and it has the church name and address and all that. So I went up to him and I said, "Michael, man, could you, I'll just take a second, but could you do this for me? This is the name of our church. Could you pray for us? You know, next time you have devotions or whatever, if you could just keep this card and pray for us that God would send this anointing back with me, that God would truly fill our church with his anointing and power. Would you do that for me?" And he says, "Man, hey, let's pray right now." So he took the card from me, and then he laid hands on me, and we just prayed for about a minute or two, and that the Lord would just really, truly pour out his anointing on me and on upon our church. And it was so cool. You know, I mean, everybody has their things that they think would be cool. Some people like, you know, well, if I had, you know, like a Mercedes, that would be cool. For me, that was the highlight of the trip. That was a divine appointment from God because I had tried getting a hold of them before. I couldn't get them by email or anything. And I just, you know, but God arranged that divine appointment because he knew that that would mean so much. And, you know, just give me the confidence that he was truly in this thing, that he was at work, he was moving, and he was going to have his way. So that was awesome. And I was just pumped after that, man. I was just like, yeah, God is so cool. God is awesome. So I just worshiped for the next 2 hours, man. I just prayed and worshiped, and people would come through the line, and I'd pray for them afterwards. And, you know, you could see different people gathering little prayer clusters around the auditorium. People would come, you know, from the line. Some of them would be like drunk in the spirit. A lot of them were just like normal, just like me. They walked through, they're like, okay, well, that's cool, you know, what's next? But, you know, there were a few who were like, you know, had you could see they were trembling under the power of God. Some had fallen out on the floor and were just laying there, you know, and people had, you know, laid them gently down and let the Spirit do what the Spirit wanted to do. So I went around to various places and just prayed with people. And then I said, you know, the seats were empty because everybody was in line. So I just went up, you know, through all the seats, and I just stood in the seats in front of where Todd Bentley was praying for everybody because I figured, hey, man, if the glory's going to come down, I want to be under that thing. So I just, you know, stood there next to the thing, and whoever he was praying for, I was praying for him too. You know, Lord, bless him, heal him, whatever, you know. 2 hours of that, man. And I mean, they could have gone all night. It would have been awesome. But eventually they ran out of people to pray for. So he left. But you know what? He For real, I'm serious. He kept his word. He prayed for every single person that came up. And I know there was a good 2,000 plus people that were standing in line. He prayed for every single one of them. It was awesome. And then he joyfully just took some of his guys and went backstage and was gone. So I didn't want to help fold the chairs at, 1 o'clock in the morning. So I left. Went back to the hotel. And we got up early because they were having another service, not with Todd Bentley, but they were that Fresh Fire Ministries was having another service the next morning. So got Missy up, and we ran out of there and got to the service, and it was kind of neat. There was no long lines anymore. There was no police outside. In fact, the parking lot was almost empty. Eventually, there was about 250 people that showed up Friday morning. So we went, and we had this amazing worship service. Amazing. The Spirit of God just sort of hung heavy in the place. And God really dealt with me about some things this weekend, and one of them was in that worship service. As I began to just, give myself to the Lord in worship, I was so excited because they did some of the songs that we do, I was like, oh, we do that song. I love that song. God began to impress on me, and this may mean nothing to you, but I'm just going to share it for what it's worth. When I first got saved back in August of 1980, I basically fell in love with Jesus. I fell head over heels deeply in love with Jesus. I was so amazed that he would die for a sinner like me. And so I just fell in love with him. I realized who he really was and what he actually did. And so I just want to tell everybody about Jesus. It was nothing formal, nothing, theological or anything about it. It was just Jesus. Jesus this, Jesus that, man. I just want more of Jesus. Well, as I got into the ministry and as I began to study more and, fill my head up with all this theological knowledge and, that kind of junk, I began to realize how exalted Christ really is and how majestic he really is and how lowly I really am. And I began to feel unworthy of that. I wasn't even aware of it, but subliminally I began to feel unworthy of that intimacy, and so I stopped referring to him simply as Jesus, and I would refer to him as the Lord or Christ or the Lord Jesus Christ or all these other things. Over the years, that had, without my knowledge, it had hardened me a little bit. And so I was giving myself to the Lord in worship. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and he just revealed that to me, and he said, "You know what? It's been a long time since you simply called out to Jesus and just loved him as a friend and a brother and just allowed him to be as close to you as he wants to be." And so I began to just call out to Jesus in the middle of worship. I just started crying out his name. And this profound sense of love just filled me. I mean, it wasn't a supernatural power like I felt at other times. It wasn't a sense of power at all. It was just a sense of amazing, innocent intimacy with Jesus. I almost said Christ, so I checked myself, with Jesus. And you know what? It's in that simplicity. It's in that innocence. It's in that childlike, truly childlike walk with Christ that we find an amazing intimacy with him. And it's so easy to let that get cold or let that get old or let it get stale. But he just brought it so fresh that morning. And so as I'm standing there in worship, the tears just began to pour down my face like Niagara Falls. It was just as that newness and freshness of the Spirit just began to warm my heart. And I found this incredible intimacy with Jesus that I hadn't known for years. And so at that point, I just didn't even care what the speaker was going to say. I'm just like, man, I just want to stand here with Jesus, man. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for filling me. Thank you for blessing my family. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. And it's amazing that innocent, childlike intimacy can be so powerful. It wrecked me, man. I was no good. I was a slobbering fool, man. I'm just like, oh, Jesus, and the tears are pouring. It was wonderful. And, with the speaker that came up, and I won't drag this out, he was saying, we have this, again, programmed evangelism. We have this, structured, formal thing that we're so programmed to do. And that's why so many people are afraid, because here's the process, the Romans Road. Nothing's wrong with the Romans Road or any of that. It's good to know the Romans Road. But, you gotta tell them, number one, they're a sinner. Then you got to bring this point in, number two. Number three, he died for you. Number four, and then you got to lead them in the prayer. And you got to make sure they say all these different things so that it lines up and so that they can truly be saved. And And so it scares us to death because it's so structured and formal. We think, man, who in the world is going to want to hear this when I go out to the mall or on the street to share this with them? And he said, you know, the Holy Spirit is so much more organic than that. Jesus, I don't think he ever witnessed to the same person the same way twice. He had one way of talking to the woman at the well. He had another way of talking to Nicodemus when he came to him at night. He had different words for different ones. And not to discount the gospel. I mean, the gospel is what it is, and it's glorious. But, you know, God is organic. God is the living God.